Capital 263.
What's happening, good people? You're listening to My Two Cents. It's been a minute. It's been a while.
Yes.
We've been going through some things.
Yes.
A lot of things.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but the tide is settled, so we're back to our regular programming.
Yes.
Yes, you know, I am your host, Elliot Twist, and I'm joined by the host with the co-most,
we don't know how to podcast anymore. It's broken. The machine is broken.
The co-host with the most.
You know what? Like, I'm going to just, it's my Tandy, you know, aka,
Yeah.
My one, guys. I'm sorry. My Tandy, aka Aura the Poet, aka I'm gonna be performing at a festival and that's so cool. Aka I am not the biggest fan of my job. Aka aka I hate Twitter. Aka I don't wanna see social media for the rest of my life. Aka
really?
No, not really. It's kinda fun now, but like yeah. What's up, what's up? And today we have a guest. Elliot, do your thing.
We have a special guest in the house. You know, she's done a lot of community work. You know, she's worked with young ladies, underprivileged young ladies, teaching them skills and all that.
Oh, word.
And she was recently in New York.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah. So we're going to hear a little bit about that on the YALI. She's in the YALI program. And
hey, yo.
Yeah. So she's gonna tell us a bit about YALI. So we have in the house, drum roll please, Anuziwa Marindire.
Hello guys, you guys are so dramatic. Thank you.
Hi Anu.
Hello, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, so did you manage to vote?
No, unfortunately not.
Ah, all right.
I can see you were not following my my vlog.
Ah, shame.
I'm sad, Elliot.
How did you feel about that?
I'm kind of glad to a certain extent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I'm kind of glad to a certain extent that I actually didn't have to make that
decision.
Choice.
Uh-huh.
Because I think, unlike most people, for me, both choices weren't
working out for you.
Yeah. So,
oh. All right.
To that extent, but I was sad I couldn't vote for an MP and a councillor for my home area.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All
Fair
right.
Enough.
There's always next time.
You know, in 5 years' time.
Yeah, there's always next time.
I think my mom did the most. So, yeah, she's good.
Okay, so
she did it for my
idea. You're pretty much the same person. So, I mean, it's done.
All right.
It's done.
So, I feel like I gave a bit of a brief introduction. Can you tell us exactly what it is, the kind of work that you're doing with the girls and what your project is called?
Okay, so our project is called Girls Speak Out.
Yeah.
And we have two projects. We have got Girls Speak Out that looks at training girls living in underserved communities, that is high density, low income communities.
All right.
Like Mfakose, Mamvuku.
All right.
And we train code, digital media, that's basically mobile journalism, blogging.
Okay.
And then we then train advocacy skills, which incorporate leadership and civic leadership, basically.
Wow.
Cool.
That is amazing.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that is very, very
Thank
cool.
You. And then we have the older ladies program, which is called the Power Classes for Women. So there we work or train ladies that are running grassroots community projects or social enterprises on again, civic leadership. But then we go further into looking at management skills, because you find that those women do not have the money actually to go to either like a tertiary institution and pay the 600 or 900 to get project management skills or grant writing, etc.
Oh, okay. So that's where your organization steps in.
Yeah.
Okay. Could I ask for the girls, like what age group?
We look at girls starting 14 up to 24.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the ladies starting at 25 going up upwards.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool. What's the feedback been like?
The feedback has been great. We obviously hope we could do more. But I think for both projects, it's been great. We actually had our first graduation for the older ladies in July. Fortunately, I wasn't there again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. The feedback was really good. And the girls program has kind of gotten international recognition. And we've been going around trying to create the same model in other countries for other people who are running
all right.
projects around.
I think that's great.
Nice.
I think that's great. So, is it just for girls?
Yeah. I mean, it's for girls to be out.
Is it just for girls?
Yes. Guys.
I mean,
we do.
Do you ever feel like
we do? Like our first class for girls, for the Girls Speak Out project, we were in Ten World, and then we always had like one or two boys that would come into the class, especially for the advocacy classrooms.
Yeah,
because those were always heated, and because our girls are really opinionated. By the time they get to the second month, they really know how to express themselves, and so it was really interesting getting also the young men to come in and then share ideas or debate. It is
all right. But it's predominantly
predominantly
a girls program. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. So do you guys not fear that you might overlook boys? Like, do you not think that boys also need some of these skills?
I think they do.
Uh-huh.
But I also think it's up to the men or
to step up.
The old
visionaries.
Wow.
Jim, 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 Jim. Oh my gosh. Gosh.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I will never get to my
You know, because before we started, it was what, Transformers?
Yes.
And then he was singing about jam donuts, and I was like,
did
I
you
don't
even
understand.
Go outside? Yes.
I did. Sometimes.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. So how long have you been doing it? Has this project been running?
So the Girls Speak Out program started in 2016,
okay.
And
wow.
The PC4W one started in 2017.
And how many people have you trained today?
The girls program, we have 138, excluding mm-hmm. the class for this year, which we are starting in Mavoko this when we open the school term.
Okay.
And then for the ladies program, we have monthly sessions with the ladies. Mm-hmm. We have an average of about 40 to 50 people that come into our classes.
Okay.
The sessions, the one-day sessions. But then we ran a full training program mm-hmm. for 8 weeks where the ladies graduated in July. We had 15 ladies in that class.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That's dope.
That is so cool.
Thank you guys.
Tell us, how did you get connected to Yali? Was Yali behind this or... did you do it in conjunction with Yali, or you just started off and then Yali just came along?
Interesting story there. So I was taking these online courses mm-hmm. offered by Yali in 2016.
But wait, what is Yali first of all?
So it's the Young African Leaders Initiative.
All right.
Started in 2014 by Barack Obama when he was still president.
All right.
And they run two programs now. They have the Mandela Washington Fellowship, and then they have the Yali Regional Fellowship.
All right.
And I've been fortunate to go to both.
All right.
And how Girls Speak Out started was they ran an Africa for Her campaign in 2016
mm-hmm.
where they asked young people to pledge towards improving or developing girls and stuff. So me and my friend, who is the co-founder of Girls Speak Out, we pledged to mentor girls in media because we were working as journalists mainstream at that time.
Right.
So we took in 5 girls in 2016 and the project was a success. As soon as the girls finished, because they were in university at the UZ, as soon as they finished, they managed to get jobs. It was easy for them to get jobs after the program.
Because of the additional skills that you guys have provided.
That we gave them. So we were like, so we don't really need to take the program away, but then how do we then make sure it has greater impact? And then from our research, we thought, why not take it to where we came from, which was the ghetto.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
All right. So I think that's all done.
That's how it started.
Okay. So there's a lot of things that have been said about Yali. You know, and I'm just curious, you know, I'd like for you to just clear up the air, you know, when with some of the theories and whatnot about Yali, you know. Okay. Oh no, don't worry.
You should see the hand movement. It looks like a mystical thing. Yali. Or it sounds like it's like some like, you know, conspiracy theory's been happening. Like
wow.
Guys, it's actually wow. Trafficking. Like what's going on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Elliot, okay. I mean, all right, what are the
so apart from the theory.
Can I plead the fifth?
Oh.
Wow. Anyway, that was my two cents. This was a great show. You know, see you next time. There's no, all right.
No, there's no fifth year. Wrong constitution.
Wow. Not in section. What?
I'm talking about our crime.
Oh. You know what? First. The case.
Oh wow. Oh wow. That is interesting. No, so there have been these theories, you know, that, well, hey, America is trying to, you know, harvest the human capital and they're using Yali to do that and all of that stuff. I mean, what is your take on that? You know, I mean.
I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of Yali because I don't work there.
Oh, yeah, you don't. Let's kill the myth and give us the truth.
I think to a certain extent, when even in business, or maybe take it from business, you don't do, you don't give, even when you give corporate social responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. You don't give for free. There's something that you kind of expecting.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's the same thing, whether it's the Americans, the Canadians, the French, they all have programs that are targeted mm-hmm. at young African leaders and stuff.
Yeah.
I would think maybe the conversation should go back to saying, why doesn't Africa actually have programs like that for Africans? I think that's the question that we should actually
and
be asking.
And you're raising a good point, because we don't have Zali.
Guys.
We don't have Zali in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
We don't have a.
If you're listening and you're not like, hey, whoa, let's set up a
Zali. We don't have a Joshua Nkomo fellowship program.
Wow,
you know.
But we need one.
You know, and I think it's really, really sad that our own people don't invest in our own abilities and talent. You know, we don't do that.
Yeah, we do. We don't. I think, but a few have started. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad what's his name? Tony Elumelu.
Oh yeah, Tony Elumelu.
Now
yeah,
has
yeah.
Fellowship.
The Tony Elumelu fellowship.
The more Abraham one, but then I think we need more people to rise up who actually have the resources to start programs like that. We need the people like Strive Masiwa, the Makambas.
Imagine if we had a Strive Masiwa fellowship, right?
Yeah, you know, like that's not a scholarship program. I think those are good as well. But we also need to look at leadership, because I think the challenge that we have is Africa stems from issues around leadership as well. So
that's true.
How are we mentoring the young leaders that are getting into areas of power?
That's
whether
true.
Be it business, politics, etc.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And so when you leave people from outside then to mentor your young leaders and your young leaders and stuff, and then you start complaining, then who's to blame?
Yeah, very true.
That's true.
Yeah.
True. That's true. You can't complain without providing an alternative.
True.
Yeah, I agree. Alright.
Wow.
Guys, these two are very dramatic. You should be in the studio. Right.
No, but you handle that well though. I like
we're
that.
Not,
I like the
not,
way you answer that
dramatic,
question.
Right? I mean I went to drama club. You know, I mean
yeah.
I can see that you went to drama club now. It makes sense.
I don't understand what that means. What does that mean? What are you trying to say? What are you Yo.
No, I'm saying it in a very nice way. You know, love drama. I love watching drama.
You love watching drama? What are you saying?
Well, you're probably giving somebody in particular some fuel right now.
What she's saying, Ora, is you are drama.
Don't call it. Don't say it, guys. I am under the impression that I am actually, as a fact, yesterday, somebody described me as Zen.
Ah.
Wow.
I think Ora is so Zen.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wow. And they're like, even when she's upset, like, she's upset in a really creepy way because she just becomes really quiet. And then you know she's like really pissed.
Oh, no, go boiler. She's so boiler.
Zen.
Although when I do blow up, Lord, guys, I'm sorry.
Oh, man,
it's not good. It's not good when I blow up. But like, basically, yeah, I'm countering, but there are people who look at me and
but
think
you
I'm
do
so
know,
zen.
You do know, like, in drama, there are also like people with Zen. You know, you also need those characters in drama.
Where's the soundbite? I feel like we need a soundbite.
Wait, soundbite is coming. Anna, you were in New York, right?
Yes, I was.
What was your experience there like? Did you not fear getting shot or getting arrested by the police?
Does that happen in New York?
She is black
but
in America.
The thing is, I wasn't afraid of getting shot from the police, but I think I did have some fear of going to the subway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You feared getting mugged?
Not mugged, but...
Coach Kao.
My bomb, huh? But then nothing like that happens. So, during the time that we were there. And I don't think it happens in New York anyway. But just the idea that you're getting into a subway. And because you've watched news before. And
But what was the environment like?
So, I was... So New York has 5 boroughs, and I was in one of the boroughs, which is Staten Island. Actually voted for Trump, guys. That's where I was. So
Staten Island.
Yes. So there are 5 boroughs. There's New York, the city, and then there is Staten Island, which is the island, and then there's Manhattan, Brooklyn, and the Bronx.
Sakahanan's my boroughs. What are they? Are they like neighborhoods? Kuti in Harare,
Katown.
Greencroft,
Kempe. I guess Katown.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So what, is it like Rua Norton?
No, it's not like Rua. It's actually, Harare. Say you have Harare, and then that's the city, and then you have Chitungwiza.
In another Chitungwiza.
But that's still Harare.
But that's still the district. So it's New York. New York is a state. But then there's New York City.
All right.
So I was in New York State, but I wasn't in New York City. Actually had to go on the ferry to go to the city. All right.
So, tell us a bit about...
It was eye-opening, I think, for me, because I think the college that I was at Wagner College, their program allowed us to question like the things that we're saying, which was when I went there, we had this, the majority of us had this idea that, you know, you mustn't say stuff like
that's on your mind, or
and then you're telling each other like, hey, you know, you mustn't really talk about these issues, the racism, because you're going to be around majority Caucasians and stuff. So, but when we went there, right in the classroom, first week economics class, issues of racism were like
raised
high up there.
Okay.
So our program literally was looking at how issues of discrimination, whether be it racism, be it disability, be it issues of sexuality, how do they affect societies, how do they affect education, how do they affect economies and access to to money, etc. Like that. So it was really eye-opening in that sense. And also visiting Harlem was very eye-opening.
What's Harlem like?
Harare.
Word.
Like I have this on my vlog. There's like a whole, I think, 3 minutes of me just shouting Harare, Harare.
Wow. Because it feels like that. What makes you feel like it, what is made a part it feel
of,
like Harare?
There's a part of Lower Harlem that actually does feel like it's Harare. You've got boomboxes outside the shop.
Oh, wow.
Music loud. And then you, oh, wow. The thing is, they have a DJ who's like playing music on
not
the
just like, I got it. Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, so who's playing and asking you and telling you about prices, so you get into the shop etc, and then next two shops you've got another DJ and these boombox and thing on the outside.
Oh, wow.
And you've got mannequins outside with clothes displayed etc.
So, yeah, that's
and
hilarious.
Then you've got musika, like,
oh,
people,
oh really,
yeah,
musika
market.
Ah,
Muroj. So, but that's Lower Harlem, and then you've got New Harlem or Upper Harlem, which is totally different.
What is it's that? Like, if you were to compare it to a neighborhood, what would you say it's like?
I'd say if Borodo Brook was a group of apartments or flats, yeah, that's like Borodo Brook.
That's Upper Harlem.
Yeah, and it's only the only differentiation is, or what separates them actually, is just a street.
Wow.
So you've got on this other side of the road, beautiful Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and then beautiful Borodo Brook, and yeah. then on this other side you've got Rugare.
Wow.
So
wow.
yeah.
Rugare.
Oh wow.
That's deep.
That no, is seriously.
Interesting. And how
so,
and how
yeah,
was
it interesting?
How was it interacting with the African American? Like African Americans, like to a certain, I've met a few, mm-hmm. But like yeah, to a certain degree. They have almost a sense of like, you know, it's like the sense of the ones that I've met, like a sense of wonder, like, yo, but like, yo, you're African though. Like, you know, they like got the sense of, yeah, you know,
Wakanda.
You know, you're, no.
Okay.
No. Elliot, I'm going to throw you away. Do you understand? Or I'm just going to quit this podcast. Anyway, like they're really like, oh, a sense of pride. You know, you're from Africa. You got your land. You know, you got your people. You got your language.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Did you get that vibe?
No, I had three vibes from the African Americans.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you've got, Americans who got their citizenship because they've applied for it and they're now Americans, but they came from Africa, like
okay.
really flew and came in on their own. And then you've got Americans by birth from, like, they have history mm-hmm. there. And then you also have to look at where they are staying. Mm-hmm. Are they in the burbs mm-hmm. or are they main New York City, the city itself, mm-hmm. or are they coming from like the ghettos?
Okay.
So their perspective of you as an African who's coming from Africa is totally different. So if it's someone who knows about home, which is Africa, the motherland, mm-hmm. they're very excited to see you because you are a part of, you're kind right. of a reminder of what they know.
Okay.
And then if they are in the burbs, it's more because you'll find more academics and intellectuals okay. in those areas. Mm-hmm. It's more about, yeah, you guys have got your lands,
okay.
Conversations right. like
all
that.
Right. Okay.
And then you've got the ones in the city who are kind of, either they don't really give a
yeah.
hoot, or you find others that have issues with Africans. They think okay. Africans are arrogant, blah blah blah. And then you've wow. got the
how do you, how
the
do
Wakandas. The ones that are in Wanda, yeah. So
oh, the ones who are just like, they see you and they're like, oh, you know, okay, yes. I just cross my arms. But like basically that's what they see you and they're like, oh my god, Pambili. Like, nah, nigga.
Yes.
Yes. All right. That's dope. And gentrification. I've been curious about gentrification, you know. What are some of the effects you've seen about gentrification?
So looking at Harlem and what I was telling you, that's one of the effects. You've got two different lives coexisting, or two different worlds coexisting in the same place. Where so you obviously you would find violence and issues
that's
like
that bound
in
to
there,
breed a lot
it's
of
bound
tension.
To breed a lot of tension. And the second thing that we saw in terms of gentrification when we went to Harlem was because there are new buildings that are being built and new businesses coming in, from there was one statement that one of my professors said at that time was, wherever you see Starbucks opening a new shop, you know that the prices are going to go up. And then the question is, when the prices go up, where are these people that can't afford those prices going? Yeah, so then people are pushed out of their
neighborhoods,
which they have sentimental value over, because Harlem has like really sentimental. People who stay there or who have grown up, they have sentimental value that they attach to their neighborhood.
Right.
It's not just us staying in this neighborhood because it's cheap. It's staying in the neighborhood because there's history.
It's my family grew up.
Yeah, and there's also like history in terms of the civic rights movement. So there's a lot of history there. And then you have the majority African Americans who can't afford being pushed out. And it's not just the African Americans, because you have people of color generally who made that their home, who are now being pushed out because they can't afford the rentals there. And rental is about 2,000 for 2,000.
And this is the lowest.
Yes.
All right.
So you can imagine that.
It is time for our sound bite. So I have a little something I found. And
can I warn you? Can I just warn you in advance? I warn all of our guests about
Elliot. But this sounds pretty easy.
Elliot, hold on. No, there has never been. Oh my gosh. If you listen to this podcast, please support me. There has never actually been a normal soundbite. So I don't know where Elliot finds these things. He goes and he like just decides, okay, I'm gonna swim in the internet now. Yay, psh, right? And starts like doing like the breaststroke and the backstroke, like ha 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 ha, and the deepest darkest webs, right?
This weird stuff.
And he's always looking for this really like, I don't even know where he finds them. Although I did find one weird one for him, but like there's these really, really, really strange things.
So is this one a new one, Elliot?
And it's always a new one. Like every show, there's always a new soundbite.
We're going in.
I'm here to tell you that light skin privilege exists. Unfortunately, because light skin is closer to white skin, it is viewed as more societally correct.
I think light skin privilege is when lighter skin people like myself are given preferential treatment or seen as softer or more feminine or more approachable than our darker skin peers. We're seen as less black.
Light skin privilege stops to make you think, am I getting this because of a privilege that I was born with?
I would say that it's extremely ignorant to believe that having lighter skin does not help you in any sort of way.
It's up to the people who benefit from it to say something. I think it's all on us to identify where notions of beauty and pretty come from, and to be careful about the ways in which we are assigning value based on that. And it's not okay. It's really not okay.
Okay, yeah, that was fairly normal. You've put me to shame today. It's usually weird.
Yeah, today was pretty normal.
Today was pretty normal.
Yeah, today was normal.
Yeah, I'm glad. At least I bought some bit of normalcy.
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry.
This is not targeted you.
No, I mean, we are the show.
Targeted at him directly.
Okay, Elliot.
All right. Today was totally normal. Totally normal. Okay, guys. So, this falls under the topic of colorism, right?
Okay.
How do you guys feel about that?
I know.
We'll start with you, Anna. Have you had a situation where you've seen someone whose complexion was placed over yours and stuff?
I wouldn't say it's colorism, more outputted racism. We had this incident in the bus when we were in Staten Island, where this one, we came into the bus, went into the back of the bus with a couple of my friends. We were going to the mall, and this girl, whom I would assume was a teen, and not really Caucasian, but maybe a mix with Mexican or something, I went and I sat beside her because there wasn't any space. And then she opened the window. So here I was checking my armpits to see if...
Am I smelling?
Or something like that.
Really?
So, yeah. And then... But I did that on purpose, obviously. I knew I wasn't. Mm. But I just wanted to show her that I've seen you.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say anything to you because I'm scared you might just take out a gun.
Oh, yeah, it should. Yeah.
But I've seen you. So she stood up, went way back, like to the last seat. But then the last seat, two of my other friends were seated there. And she chose to go to the corner of the door, open the window of the seats, and then open the window again. And then so I was with this other friend of mine who's he's a Cape Coloured.
Yeah.
Looks at her and like she goes like opening her eyes and her hands like, so what?
What?
So what?
So what's your problem?
We were like, I know we need to chill. We might not make it out of this.
Oh man.
But yeah. I think that was the only kind of incident that I...
How about you, Aura?
Yeah.
Have you had an issue with colorism?
Yes. So I'm the darky, right, in my family. I'm the darky in my family.
Really?
Yeah. I'm the dark one.
Yeah.
In fact, so much so that I have this complex. Like, I feel like I'm dark, guys. I feel like I'm not really even dark. Honestly, now, you know, I really genuinely, even when I look at myself, I genuinely see a dark girl. Because everyone, like, I mean, my cousins are brown-eyed. Like, they have hazel eyes.
Yeah.
They're black. Like, black. But they've got hazel eyes. And they're yellow. They're fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then my parents, mom and dad, are fair. Like, fair. And and then, like, I come out like this guy, you know, a bar of licorice out here, you know. And, you know, I grew up with a complex. And I mean, it didn't help that, I mean, I was obese growing up. I was really, really fat.
All right.
And, like, I grew up just large. And I started wearing glasses at, like, 5 years old. So I had these round glasses.
Yeah.
And I was dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, like, you know, my fair skin, like, you know, my fair, you know, brown eyed, you know. And so I grew up with a complex and still taking a process for me to be like, you know, maybe I'm not dark. You know, I don't have to be light to be pretty. But then, like, I have noticed it. I mean, I grew up in a lot of places and I have noticed it that, you know, the lighter girls would usually, you know, get picked to do certain stuff. Even going into TV for me was really hard. Because I was like, I didn't feel like I had a face for TV. I didn't feel like I looked right. I didn't fit the bill for TV.
I actually forgot. I had a mentor who told me that I wasn't meant for in the front camera or on radio. You should do like producing or stuff like that.
Oh, a mentor said that.
Yeah, they are no longer a mentor, by the way.
So. Well, yeah, okay. I hope not. But like, yeah. Like, so like, yeah.
Yeah, so it does
affect
work. Because people...
I had two. Okay, I'm going to be honest. Growing up, yeah, of course, I had some incidences where, you know, people make fun of you, you diss you, and then you just shake it off. Like teens, we are kids, we tease, we get teased, you know. That was my ideology. Mm. But when there's this one time where I traveled, and when it really became something I became conscious of was when I was sitting with my friend's wife, you know, and she says, well, I don't want, and she's like light, and my friend is colored, and she was like, well, I don't think I'd want my child to be dark in complexion, you know, because there aren't really a lot of opportunities for dark in complexion people. Can you imagine? This is me coming from Zimbabwe, you know. It's not like I didn't feel like it was, you know, that much of an issue. And I was hearing this for the first time and I was like, wow, so this is what it's like. I was in Mozambique, but yeah, this happened in Mozambique. So fast forward, I had two incidents. That was the first incident. And then the second incident was when I was standing talking to this one girl, and she looks at me and she says, I don't understand this. And I'm like, well, what don't you understand? And she's like, I don't understand how anyone can be dark in complexion and handsome at the same time. It doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
That's like a double. It's like, thank you. It's like,
Yeah, exactly. That was that was exactly what I was like. I was like, thank you. So I don't know, you know, I just feel like
I'm shocked.
In God, certain,
actually, I was shocked.
I was shocked. I was shocked. I swear, I was shocked. I was like, wow. So this is actually a thing. No, yeah. But, yeah, but then yeah, those are my experiences with colorism. As far as jobs and all that is concerned, I haven't really. I think maybe men and women probably have it different. And then in some areas, I saw like dark skinned people. As I was going about my business, like dark skinned people knew their place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They knew their place. Mm-hmm. I saw like a crushed bunch of people, and I was like, wow.
They've
literally just.
Glad you mentioned Mozambique, and I think Mozambique is a classic example of that.
Yeah.
I have a friend she was part of the Yali program that I was in, and one of the issues that she had, because we had a theater week or class part of the classes were for you to share like some of your fears and fantasies so that you break down the walls. And one of the issues that she mentioned was that she grew up in a family where she was the
dark one.
Dark one.
Oh, okay.
No, the dark one. But then when we saw her, we were like, this girl is beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, she's really like beautiful, beautiful black hair. She's beautiful and she's cute. Like, you know those people that you really want to be friends with her?
Yeah.
And then when she was telling us, like, this is why I'm like reserved, and because she would have issue times where she would just be quiet, like in class, and then, you know, she doesn't raise her hands that often and stuff. So it kind of does affect you and kind of puts you where, you know, like, this is my place. I'm supposed to talk. You know, and it takes like the people around you to actually then.
I feel it affects children more than anything.
Yeah.
Because my child. My child. Okay, I just got distracted, but anyway, my child. We're at a really delicate phase in her life where she's trying to perceive beauty, and you know, now I understand why. I mean, I used to like stress about it, like, yeah, you know, black dolls and things like that, but like now. I have a friend of mine, Neliswe Mwase. She's a filmmaker in South Africa, and she's there's a line of dolls that you can buy, like these black dolls.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I see it now, because like Ta will be like a really light. She'll see a picture of a really light girl and say she's beautiful, and see a really dark girl and she's like, oh no, it's ugly. I'm like, no, but Tandi. It's, that's not how it works. And she'll see a white girl and she'll say, a white girl's really beautiful. It's not that white girls are not beautiful, but it's like trying to get her to take ownership. So, you know, she's like, oh, mommy, my skin. And I'm like, Tandi, your skin is so beautiful. Your skin is beautiful.
Oh, shame.
You know, and it's like trying to then, because even the cartoons, so now like I'm even more conscious about the cartoons that I watch.
Mm-hmm. It's really weird, you know. I never paid attention to the cartoons. But then as I started to see the cartoons, I was like, whoa, most of these cartoons are...
It's how we socialized, guys.
I'm sorry. I don't want to sound racist, but even the Bible stories, they're all white.
Yeah, they are. And like, it's funny how like her favorite cartoon, like the cartoon, the character now that she relates to the most is Moana.
All right.
Because Moana is this deeper color. Looks closer to what she looks like.
Yeah.
She's going...
Yeah, it's
closer to what she looks like. And then there's also the princess and the frog, but then the black girl's a frog most of the movie. So it's like, we don't really, we don't really see her. We just see her in a dress in the beginning. We see her looking like a maid in the beginning, and then we see her in a princess dress at the end. And the whole movie, she's a frog. But she sounds like a black person, an American black. So it's like, but the one she really, really, really loves, the cartoon she really like relates to and loves is Moana. Because Moana is closer to home. It's this dark girl who has almost the same skin color as her, and her hair is black and she's thick. You know, she's not this skinny, tall, blonde, you know, character. Nothing wrong with that. If you're skinny, tall and blonde, awesome. Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm not. And my child's not.
Yeah.
And I want my child to identify.
And they shouldn't feel self-conscious about that.
Never feel self-conscious about it. You're beautiful. Yeah, but it's a real thing. And I'll say I see it with my child, where it's like, beauty everywhere is light. Beauty is light.
Ish. All right.
True.
I know. Anyway, we've come. That's so deep. That's so deep.
So deep.
We've come to the last segment of the show.
Yellow.
Celebrity story. So basically, you're supposed to tell us about an experience or a moment that you've had with either a local celebrity or international. Just a memorable moment.
What did I meet? Oh, so I love poetry. Yeah. There's this British poet or spoken word artist called, what's his name? And then it goes off on my head. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Right. So I was, the first time I went to the US, he was there performing in the camp. Mm-hmm. And I was late to come to the camp. I came a day later and he had already performed. Mm-hmm. So when I saw him by the food line, the way that I screamed, shame.
Wow.
I felt like a 16-year-old.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
So his wife was standing by the side.
Oh, dear.
It's like, you screamed?
She's having a crush on you. And she kept saying that. I was so embarrassed.
Sweet.
What did he say? What did he say?
No, he was really sweet. He was really, and I performed because of him after that. Oh, so it was really sweet. And his wife was really sweet too.
Okay.
That's dope. Right. That's dope.
Yeah, but that was embarrassing though.
But okay. But you also got to see Trevor Noah, right? Did you?
Yeah, but I'm not a huge fan.
Oh, wow.
I'm not a huge fan. But that's
the end of the show.
Right,
I'm a fan, but I'm not a huge fan.
It's finished.
But I spoke to him, which was good.
Oh, you spoke to Trevor?
Yes.
What did he say?
He saw me because I was screaming.
Uh-huh.
I had my Zimbabwean flag. No, uh-huh. Zimbabwean scarf.
Yeah.
You know the famous
Scarf,
one.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And I was waving it all over. So it was like, Zimbabwe there. Yeah. How are things after the guys left? I was like, check the face. And then that started like a whole conversation. So that was really nice.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That was really nice.
Oh, that's dope.
But hey. Still, I'm not a fan.
Hey, Trevor. My man.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the man, but not of the game.
Ah.
He's quite cute.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. They catch up. I've got it now. Yeah. We are all fan of the men. Yeah. I'm also me. I'm a fan of. Oh, shame. I'm a fan of the men. Anyway. We're done. Thank you so much for coming.
You're
awesome.
Thank you so much for coming through.
So, what are the handles that people can follow you on?
So I recently started a vlog.
Yes.
Where I am sharing my experiences on leadership and my thoughts in that regard, because I really think that's something that's of passion for me. So you can find, you can follow me on my page. It's Anoziva Marindire on Facebook. And if you want to follow the work that I do outside of that, you will find JSO. What's that? _ZW mm-hmm. on Twitter mm-hmm. and PC4W Academy on Instagram. So all that's right. Where we post most of the stuff that we do.
Dope. All right. That is so dope.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming through.
It was nice hanging with you guys.
Yes.
Yes. Tabu.
Yeah, no. So we are finished. thanks for listening and for using your data. Remember, Capital 263 is just the best place in the world, really.
Yeah.
That's where you can find everything. Free to what?
Free to say it. Free to do it.
Yeah, that's the one. So, our podcast is called My Two Cents because, yes. You know, we are broker than most and we only have 2 cents to share and we are stingy. And also, my Twitter handle is at Miss Aura, although I want to change it to Rising Sphinx. I'll explain next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can find me at The Juice. That is D J E U C E.
Yeah. D with an E or an A?
D.
D and that means D. D with an E or
D.
An A.
Oh, D. D with an E.
D Yakuchkoro.
Yes, T H E.
T H E D J
D J E U C E.
Yeah, because you have to keep spelling because like it's just so, I don't know. It's just even, anyway.
Yes, I know fine. It's different, but it's okay. All right, we are. I had a ball.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap. Peace.
And now. Capital 263.